Welcome, everyone, the millions and millions of listeners that tune in every week for Stone Payton's High Velocity Radio Show. And believe it or not, I am not Stone Payton. My name is Brent Brooks, and I am hosting, filling in for Mr. Payton today. And I am so excited because my wingman here is Mr. Lee Cantor. Say hello, Lee.
Hello, Brent. How are you doing?
Lee,
you're a little fired up.
I'm so excited about our guest. She is an ally. She is an awesome person, and she's, I think, perfect guest for this kind of show. Wouldn't you say, Lee?
Absolutely. This is exactly what the show needs.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she's not here.
No. We're going to have to just do with us.
I am totally kidding. I am joined with my good friend Brownell Landrum. She is the chairman and chief innovation officer of a company called Draw Success. And I have lots to say about Draw Success. But Brownell, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
First off, tell me a little bit about Draw Success. What is it, and how could a company benefit from your product?
Well, it's Draw Success is really kind of a company and a program and a game. So it's kind of three things in one. It's a program for team transformation is the quickest way to explain what we do. But it does so much more than that. It takes teams through a whole process that can either be in situations where companies have team performance issues or in situations where companies are going through any kind of change and they need to get their teams to high performance quickly. And or it's just for companies who are already doing well, but they just want to take their teams to the next level. So it's a whole program and process that gets the teams to that level and gets them to work
better. How did you get into it?
It came out of a painful experience, actually. My most recent corporate job, I won't say the name of the company, but it was a big company. And
what's it rhyme with?
Let's see. Well, I can say it's similar to the name of a bear, but we'll leave it at that. Anyway, I worked on a team that was just highly dysfunctional, every kind of nasty situation you can have on a team. And so I really, you know, that's one of those kind of things you sit in your brain and think, I've got to find a solution to this. And in all my years in corporate America, I just never saw anybody that had a solution to team performance issues, frankly. And so I just kind of went on and made that charge to create something that would have transformed that team.
I think I figured out the name of the company. It was the Care Bear.
The Care Bear
organization.
Yes, I heard they're really rough.
They're really have some internal strife.
Yes.
You wouldn't think that.
No.
The face they have.
That smiley little bear.
Yeah. So I what I'm thinking is you help a company change their dirty diapers.
Yeah. And well, find out why they're dirty in to begin with, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know, make sure that poop doesn't stink anymore.
But you get down and dirty with these companies, but you do it in a fun way. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it's extremely fun. Well, you know, Brent, we took it to your company, so you know what it's like and how interesting that experience was watching your team go through it and seeing how everybody was able to share information with each other that they didn't know, even though they'd known each other for a long time.
It was a game. It was a fun, interactive game, and all of my team got to play, and it got to draw out certain things that I didn't know what was going on. So everyone got to articulate from their perspective what the goals of the companies were and what their perspective of the goals were, and it brought out a lot of great information that we're now using.
Now, when you say draw, are you talking draw like an artist draws, or draw? How are you defining draw?
Well, actually, the word draw is a very powerful word. To educate in Latin means to draw out. And that's really what we're doing. And, you know, when you think about the word draw, you use it a lot and don't realize it. You draw forth, you draw conclusions, you draw out ideas, you know. And so it's not just a physical drawing, although that can be part of the program. It's really – and you draw cards in the game. So there's a lot of elements of the word draw.
I got to say that I won the game when we played it.
There's a winner?
I destroyed my team.
That's
they
important,
are. I beat
right?
them all.
And the funny thing is all your other team members think they won, too.
Oh, I won.
But you won the most.
You did win because you're the owner of the company. And so you got the most benefit because you were able to get the success from the company.
Can you walk us through what it's like to attend one of these sessions?
Well, first, yes, absolutely. The first is we start with an assessment of the team. So it's like, okay, yeah, we talk about fun. And it is really fun. But we do have to say, what does the team need to work on? And set a benchmark so we know
how performance
it was.
And this is before it even begins?
Before you even walk in the door. It's an online assessment, takes about 10 minutes, and all the team members input into it. And then that gives us what we need to know to what to work on with that team.
And then you customize the session according to their
results? Absolutely.
Result.
Then we customize the session. We call it stacking the deck.
Mm.
But so we know what to get at. We know what to do with the company. And that's a big part of the training.
At the end of the game, I was completely naked.
Really?
Yeah, there's...
And other people were drawing you?
Yeah. No, it's not that kind of game. It's very engaging.
Well, we did think it would work well in bars, but I don't think we'll go down that
That's
road.
That's right.
Either.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
So tell me, we were talking downstairs a little bit about a special event that you went to in Phoenix called Innovation Emergence. Is that right?
Innovation Immersion, actually.
Immersion, thank you.
Yeah.
And you got to be a keynote speaker at this function, and wow, you got to kind of rub shoulders with the executives of Google and Mattel and all these major corporations. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience you had?
Yes. It was an innovation conference held in Phoenix, as you just said, and it was mostly chief innovation officers, although some of them have more creative titles than that, chief creatologist from Hewlett-Packard, for example. And but they basically chief innovation officers from a lot of major companies, a lot of major leading innovation companies. For example, Wrigley, Federal Express, Google, Mattel, Hasbro, Pitney Bowes, lots of major companies. And so they sent their people to come to this conference to really hone their skills on innovation, learn what the newest and greatest and coolest stuff is in innovation. And I was the keynote speaker.
Now, what do you, when you're dealing with these huge companies where risk is usually a challenge for them, how do they balance the innovation with the, you know, covering their butt corporate mentality?
You know, that's there's one aspect of that specifically that they're concerned with now. I mean, a lot of companies invest in innovation. In fact, one of the things that came out from the conference, which is probably intuitively true, but it was a big hit me over the head, is that some of the most successful companies today started during a recession. And the reason is innovation. Because if you can't succeed doing things the way you've always done it when times are tough. You have to be really creative and innovative and come up with new products and services and solutions to be able to stand out. And so some of the smartest companies know it's a time to invest in innovation. One of the things that came out of the conference that was interesting was that open innovation, the concept of not only ideas have to be invented here, and that's really where a lot of companies get stuck, is they think, well, gosh, if you get ideas from outside the company, then what do you do about that, right? How do you handle that? Because there's legalities and there's, you know, problems with how do you do legal agreements with the entrepreneurs, for example, that might have an idea that helps your company. But they realize how important that is. And that's probably their biggest struggle is how do you deal with that? How do you still encourage that but be careful at the same time?
So at this conference, did you play a big game of draw success with all these different corporations, or?
I did.
Really?
I have a large group version of the game.
Wow.
And I've done it with a number of different groups. I've done it with some C-level executives, a group of C-level executives from Fortune 500 companies, and I've done it with change management experts. And this time I did it with the innovation officers, and I can customize it to ask questions that really get at issues that matter to them. And then after the presentation, I have a report with hundreds of ideas for them to take action on.
So who was the big jerk? Like, who was the big just jerk of a – the Google guys, they're probably jerks, right?
No, actually, no. That's funny because, I mean, it sounds like I'm trying to be polite, and I would probably want to answer your question just to make you happy. But
that's important.
That's important. But the truth is there weren't any. It was just more, I think – if there was anything that was kind of dramatic was just that some are so closed to open innovation, if you will, and some are really embracing ideas no matter where they come from.
Well, just so you know, Lee has scheduled an appointment to go see a creatologist tomorrow, I think. Is that
yes, because
right?
When you turn 40, I think you have to go.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to get an operation.
Guys
serious.
Do. Guys have to go when they're 40.
To 40, make him more creative? Is that what it does?
Yeah, he's going to go
see what they said.
Well, there's a lot of people probably could use that.
So can you share what are some of the companies that went to Phoenix? Can you share What, like, I would, I don't know if you can share this on the radio, but can you share some of the things that they're doing, like some of the things that they're rolling out in 2009?
Some innovative ideas.
So, or some, in, just some innovative ideas that you can share with us that's, you don't have to name the company, but
that we could steal and use in our businesses.
Well, one of the things that really struck me, there's a couple of things, but one of the things that really struck me was the person from Mattel, the chief innovation officer from Mattel, said that they have a database of 75,000 ideas. 75,000. I mean, that just blows your mind to think that they capture it, right? And that's one of the problems with companies today is that there's a lot of innovation at all levels. I mean, Procter & Gamble, as you know, has really started taking innovation outside of one department and putting it in throughout the organization. But it's hard for most companies to capture ideas, which is one of the things our program does, is it helps you capture those in a finite way. But I thought
that
was amazing.
How do you sort through the ideas? Like, when you have a database of 75,000 ideas, how do you kind of know which one to work on or which one to ignore or which one could spur on 50 other ideas?
I think that's the challenge. I think the good news is that they've got the ideas. The other side of that, though, is what can you do with it? And they didn't get in enough depth of that to say that they did it well. But one of the things I thought was interesting is that there's so much technology for innovation that's coming forth that was brand new to me, that basically you can put – there are companies that you can put – somebody can put an idea in within the company, and then other people can add to that idea on the website.
Like through a wiki where it just builds upon it?
It just builds upon it, right. So you can just keep enhancing ideas and keep making them better, and you know, somebody can start with a spark of an idea. Like we did the game with the program with a company, I won't say who they are, but a major software company.
Don't, please.
and they came up with a soft drink that would help you quit smoking. Now, that's kind of an oddball idea, right? I mean, it may not even be a practical idea, but what that kind of idea can do is stimulate a lot more ideas. And so that's really, I thought this was a great way to take an idea and make it multiplied out.
When you go into different companies, are you seeing any departments that are better at this than others? Or is this something that any department can really do once they're, if there's a right facilitator?
If there's a right facilitator, you know, the idea that I just mentioned came from service technicians. It didn't come from, you know, they have a department. There, you know, a lot of companies have innovation departments or ideas and impact departments or whatever they want to call themselves. But it didn't come from the marketing people. It didn't come from the innovation people. And that's what I think companies really miss is the opportunity to get those ideas from everywhere. I mean, you can get great ideas from the people in the mailroom. You can get great ideas from every single place within that company, but you have to have a way to tap it and use it and take that information and collect it and take it to another level.
While some companies have thousands of ideas, Lee's excited because he's got one.
One idea.
He's got one idea in the can that he's ready to unveil in 2009.
Cool.
Yep.
It's
we've been
one.
Working on it for a long time, but we haven't shared it. we're in silos here at our organization. We need help in that area.
That's right. Well, a lot of cross-functional team development is an important thing to do.
He's got one big one. You were just talking about an exciting evolution of your company, which is the creation of the board and creating a board of advisors. What brought on that decision for your company? Was that something that was in your plan, or was that something that you felt like just needed to happen? And you were just expressing some gratitude from that experience. So talk a little bit about forming the board and what that's been like for you.
Yeah, mostly this company has been probably 95% me, and then there's been a few other people that have been extremely valuable, but part-time, essentially. And what I realized was I was trying to take so many people's input. The good news and the bad news about my business is that I don't come from the industry of training or development or any of that. And that's the good news about that is that that's what makes it so different. I come from marketing, and in marketing we solve problems and we add value. But in that industry, it's a very, very different industry. So I needed to get some experts, and really I thought the best idea is put them into a board of advisors, give them a nice incentive, give them an opportunity to invest in the company as well, and then send them off and break them into committees. Instead of having to defend the business model, if you will, I'm having them go out and break it apart and explore it so that they all can own it.
Can you walk us through that process? Because there's a lot of small business people that would benefit from that experience.
Sure.
Like, how did you go about, like, targeting this board of advisors? And what did you have to do to incent them to be part of this? Because I'm sure they're all very busy with their own, you know, work.
Yeah, I was absolutely blown away by the interest and the caliber of interest. You know, a board, some people say, shouldn't be more than 6 or 8 people. And I had 15 people at my first two board meetings. And I had several more that couldn't make it that wanted to be part of it. So I was extremely flattered for that. And I think it says a lot to the people. It also says a lot to something. There's something that the business that we're in strikes a chord with people. And a lot of them came because they just wanted to help, frankly. Some of them came because they could see it enhancing their business, and some of them came because they see an investment opportunity and they want a piece of this because they can see it being big. And so it was a little bit of a combination.
How did you find the advisors?
I wanted to get a kind of a diverse group. I didn't want everybody coming from the exact same kind of background. So I wanted some people coming from the HR world. I wanted some people coming from the buying training angle, as well as from the coaching aspect, because those are all of our markets. And so I had somebody who, you know, people with a financial background, people with entrepreneurial background, all different kinds of people who've started companies and built them to millions.
Were they people you knew, or just how'd you get a hold of these people?
They were all people that I had met through networking, through somebody said, oh, you've got to meet this person and you've got to meet that person.
Was it boring? The board meeting, was it just boring?
You know what I did? I've never done this before, and I've never seen anybody do this, but I, in the presentation, you know, I did a PowerPoint, okay? And that's, okay, you want to fall asleep, right? PowerPoints are boring. But what I did was I took them and I said, let me just quickly flash through every slide in this presentation and go to the end, tell them what's in it for them, tell them what I need, and then I went back through the pages of the presentation. And that was definitely a little bit interesting and a little bit different. But we also started, we have to have our model, right? And our business and our philosophy of our business is to play. So we played the game, even in a board meeting, and found out some amazing stuff about each other.
Did you just give away your business, all the percentages of your business to the board, so now they own everything?
No, but, you know, it is important for entrepreneurs to be willing to give away a piece of the business. You know, 1%, 100% of nothing is nothing. And these people absolutely are going to earn their equity, and I'm thrilled to give away equity if it helps build the business.
I like that. I think that's something that a small business can really consider, gathering a group of wise business owners who have learned from their mistakes, if you will. I'm going to do that. I'm gonna put Lee on
right
my
now?
Board. Right now.
Right now. This is, how much equity do I get? That was important for me, because it's what's in it for me, I think, was an important component of her presentation. So I'd like to know what's in it for me.
Well, welcome to my board meeting.
Thank you.
We're gonna divide my company and Stone's. And Stone's company.
Well, you're in charge of the show, so therefore you can make these kind of decisions.
I can make these decisions, yes, indeed. So back to Draw Success, and is this something that a small business can benefit from, a big business can benefit from, or is it, like, what's your target audience for this?
It actually can work in any situation with any type of employee. I mean, it's worked in, like I said, the kind of service technicians and some of the, you know, the laborer type of people, all the way to executive leadership teams of big companies. Mm-hmm. It can work. I played it with 2 7-year-olds and an 11-year-old, and they loved it. So, in fact, the 11-year-old, it really was pretty profound. He came to me and he said, you really need to figure out a way for families to play this. He said, they really need to talk about these
things. So is he on your board?
He should be. He should be. So it works in all kinds of companies. It works at all levels within a company. It's interesting because some people say, oh, it's only going to be for the marketing people or the agent advertising people or the super creative people are only going to like a program like that. But what's interesting is actually some of the more technical people who don't get to do creative stuff really sometimes get the most out of it of anybody.
I think what I keep hearing today is the word action, and taking action and making actionable, you know, decisions for your business. And what I really like about this is this kind of puts all the ideas on the table, and it kind of whittles down to the ideas that you – as a company can really take action on. Is that kind of accurate?
Absolutely.
Where you're not, you know, shooting arrows everywhere, but you're really focusing in on what the game brings out or draws out.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps you focus. It helps you generate all the ideas, but it also helps you collect them and focus. We had a company that we played with that one of the questions was, list ways your company could be one of the best places to work. And they unanimously came up with the solution of 4-day work week. Well, they went up to senior management, and they approved the 4-day work week. That's pretty powerful, and they attributed 100% to Draw Success.
Now, is this something where you come up with lots of ideas? Because I've seen this in big companies where everybody feels like, you know, they're all charged up. They're in this meeting, and then they get a million ideas, and then at the end of the meeting, you know, not a lot of them get implemented. How do you deal with that from a – I know it's not your fault because you're just coming up with the ideas, but is that something when you're selling it into the companies that you explain, look, there's people are emotionally investing in this game, and they're going to be sharing and coming up with their best ideas, and if things aren't implemented, you're going to really hurt the morale of the company.
Well, actually, it is our fault if they don't implement to some degree because it's about, as I said at the beginning, it's a program of team transformation. Yes, you generate a lot of ideas, but we have to take the team to a high-performance team. And so, like I said, at the beginning, we do a team assessment, and that evaluates the team on ability to set goals and objectives, to measure results, to be efficient and productive, to have effective meetings, all different kinds of things that we test the team on. So, and our goal and our responsibility is we're not an in-and-out team-building game. It's not at all that. It's a whole program that generally last 90 days to get that team to high performance so they can score at a high level on all those criteria that are measured at the beginning. And we take them through a process to get there. So we prepare that team to execute at a high level.
What would you say in the game, there's you get to learn that you're a color or you're a certain color. What would you say Lee's color would be?
Oh, gosh, good question. Probably red and maybe blue.
Okay.
Because I'm wearing a red and blue shirt.
Because you're wearing a red and blue shirt.
But I asked that because that was one of the fun examples of the game is that all the members of our team were made aware that they were a certain color. And then your team helped us facilitate ways to better communicate with certain colors. So now my team knows how to communicate with my personality, and I know how to communicate more effectively with the personality types of my team. And can you talk a little bit about the colors and how that comes out in the genius?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, one of the things in the assessment is we use the forming, storming, norming, performing stages of team development that was created in the 60s. And one of the things we test is diversity. And our way of looking at diversity is in the forming stage, it's I don't know you and I don't know me, right? The storming stage is I don't like you, you're different, right? The norming is, okay, now I know you and I know me. But the performing stage is now I know you and I know me and I know how to adapt to work better with you. That's the performing on diversity, no matter how you define diversity. So what the colors do is it helps teams understand, oh, wow, you know, we've always had a conflict in this particular area. And now I understand that you're coming from a different point of view. And instead of just saying, okay, now I understand you're coming from a different point of view, you go, wow, I need your point of view. I can't have an effective team without diversity, without different diversity of thought, without different points of view.
Nice. I'm affiliated with the team Growth Answers, and I keep thinking, man, what a great tool that could help us put our communication on steroids.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, you'd find out how you'd be able to assign roles and responsibilities better so that you can make sure that it's as effective as it can be. You know, some people are naturally inclined toward efficiency and getting things done quickly. Some people are detail-oriented. Some people are great at building consensus, and some people are great at inspiring and motivating. And so you'd find out who those people are on that team so that you know how to best utilize and best assign responsibilities to everyone.
Nice. I think I'm a blue.
Yes, you were blue and green, which mm-hmm. was interesting. Mm-hmm. Because in business, I think you were very much green, which is about results and driven and task and focus. Mm-hmm. And the blue is about really relationships and collaboration and unity. Mm-hmm. And that makes for a very unique and very powerful leader. Of course, all of the colors are good, though.
They're all good.
They're all good.
But yours are the best, Brent.
I'm just buttering him up.
Yeah. So how did you think of this? Were you just like sitting there on, you know, late at night, couldn't sleep, and then it just, or were you playing the Monopoly, or what happened?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do, really, my personal creative process happens a lot when I wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden I'll just completely create something brand new. It'll just come flowing out of me and I don't stop it. And it took me about 2 months to create it. I read 3 books on game strategy and pretty much ignored all of what they said. Because they all talked about having a winner, and even though you were joking about being the winner, this is probably the first non-competitive game ever designed, but it works extremely well. And so, you know, I read books on game design. I looked at other games, but most of it came from inspiration and just what did I think it needed to be. And also, because if there's a little bit of me in there, is because I tried to throw a lot of things in there. I didn't want it to do just one thing, and I think that's one of the things that makes it powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is just so exciting. This game is so much fun that I just want everybody to get a taste of it and to play it and just to see the benefit that it really brings to the table. So I'm going to ask you a question here that Stone asks everybody, and I think it's a great question, and feel free to elaborate on it. A mistake. What's a mistake that you've made in running your business, and what have you learned from that mistake?
I think it was interesting because I think an entrepreneur needs to look at where they're coming from when they come into that entrepreneur world and what is it they really want to do. And I think for me, it was thinking I had to be CEO. And when I came to the point of realizing that, you know what, I'm not the best CEO. I'm not the most, I'm not experienced in building a company to what we think we can be. And so when I realized that and realized I needed to bring in somebody to be a CEO and I needed to share the wealth and I needed to be able to share equity and demote myself, if you will, so that I can do the things that I do well, which is new products and waking up in the middle of the night and coming up with stuff. So I think that that's something you need to realize, that sometimes founders and entrepreneurs think they have to do it all themselves and they end up doing things that are outside of their skill and interest level, and then they burn themselves out because they're not fitting their own jobs to their own personality types.
Good point. I need to do the same thing. I'm sitting here listening to you going, Lee is going to be my new CEO.
And I need a CEO for me. So we all, no one wants to be the CEO.
No.
No, but that's not true. Actually, there's some people that would give anything to have. Oh, in this room. Yeah, okay. There's some people that would give anything to have an idea, and they just can't come up with a black box, as they call it. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do that for anything, but boy, they can take it and make it into millions. I heard that the Sleep Number people, for example, those Sleep Number bed, they're an example of, until they brought in an outside CEO, they were floundering. And then all of a sudden they brought somebody in who knew how to build the business. And look at what they are. We all know what that is, right?
Mm-hmm. Asleep, yeah. I need a Sleep Number bed. These chairs are Sleep Number chairs, Lee has. I've got mine on four.
And now, Brown, now what's the best way for someone to learn more about your business?
We're at, the website is www.drawsuccess.com. So DRAWSUCCESS.com. And you can learn a lot about us there. And you can also send a request to info@drawsuccess.com. And we'd be happy to help share some information about how we can make your teams work better.
It's a powerful, powerful game. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody, to Stone Payton's High Velocity Radio Show. It's been an honor to fill in for Mr. Payton, and hope for a safe return. And I'm signing off. Lee, can you say
great anything? Job, Brent. You did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Brownell was a great guest.
Thank you.
And you can go to highvelocityradio.com to check out all the other awesome guests we've had.
We've had some amazing guests.
Like Brent.
No.
All right. See you guys next week.